Well, guys, we are starting a new series called Grateful Hearts. I was going to say Grateful Hearts and Open Hands, because when we have a grateful heart, it expresses itself in more giving, maybe giving a smile, maybe giving finances, maybe giving of yourself. But we find out that it all begins with having a heart that is grateful. Gratitude. And gratitude is not just a way of saying thank you. It's a posture that transforms life, the way we see God, the way we see others, the way we see our families. When gratitude fills our heart, it just kind of overflows. So in this series, I want to invite God to teach us what it means to live with hearts full of gratitude for everything that He's done for us. Because it changes how we see Him, it changes how we see others, and it changes how we live. So the takeaway, I think, I want us all to kind of glean from all of this is that a grateful heart isn't just about being nice or polite. I know Sandra in our small groups a lot of times, she says, you know, sometimes we confuse that. We think, you know, being humble and being grateful just means we should be nice. It's not about being nice. It's not about being just polite. It is powerful. It's more than that. It's how it helps us to open our eyes to see God's grace. It shapes us in the way that we deal and interact with others. And so that's where I want us to go today. And so I'm going to take us to a story that Jesus told. We're all familiar with it. It's found in Luke chapter 17. I'm going to start in verse 11, and I'm going to read through verse 19. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me, or you can look at it on the screen. Again, Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice to say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." In other words, if you were a leper, you couldn't go near anyone. You usually had to walk on the other side of the street yelling, "Unclean, unclean." So they stood off at a distance and cried out to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." When he, Jesus, saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And I love this. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well." Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love that story because there's a couple things in there. Number one, 10 people are healed, but only one returns back to worship God and give thanks. Jesus, thank you for healing me. The other, it's like, wow, I got what I asked for. It's like Christmas Day. You know, you rip the package up, you see the smile for the moment, then they're gone. 9 of them. And unfortunately, a lot of times we're more like the 9 than the 1. But the 1 comes back. And he was a Samaritan. And we know that those were the ones that were not even supposed to interact with the Jews at all. They didn't get along. They were half-breed. And so it was like, did no one come back except this one foreigner? Hey, your faith has made you well. And Jesus used some of the most outlandish things that we would think, oh, that, culturally, you can't do that, Jesus. He's like, watch me. The Samaritan woman, not only was she a Samaritan, and they weren't even supposed to be in Samaria in the first place, but Jesus says, no, I have to go there. He's talking to her, and she's not just a foreigner. She is a woman of ill repute, to say the best, at least. And so Jesus takes the most unorthodox methods to try to drive home a point. So the first point I want us to get out of this, gratitude begins with awareness. It says this in verse 15, then one of them, when he saw, the first thing he saw when he noticed he was healed, he turned back praising God with a loud voice. 10 men cried out for mercy. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. All 10 were healed, but only one stopped, only one turned around, only one actually noticed what had happened. Gratitude starts with seeing. And the problem is we live in this fast-paced, busy life that oftentimes we are so busy, we're too distracted, we're so self-focused, we miss the very miracles right in front of us. Case in point, there is beauty every single day. Every single day you go out and you can experience God's beauty. But what do? We wait till a certain time of year, maybe in Georgia, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, where we got to go to the mountains to see all the beautiful leaves changing colors. You know what? Leaves are changing colors everywhere. But it's just not the same. There's a tree in our neighborhood. We drive that way specifically. Howard, you'll probably know where it is. When you're coming off of Crane Road and then you're turning down Indian Hills, I guess, there's a tree that looks like it's been set on fire. Heather, I think it might have been in your old house. We go that way just to see that because it's beautiful. But sometimes we miss that. Why? Because it's just right there. We could see that anytime. Well, God is giving us blessings. God is pouring out His mercy on us every day, and we're too busy, too distracted to even notice. So we have to slow down. We have to see that. What if we slowed down long enough to notice God's goodness in the ordinary things? Oh, we say sometimes in our prayer, God, thank you for allowing me to wake up today. Thank you for the breath that you give us. But oftentimes we don't thank Him for the breath. It just happens. It's old news. God, thank you for my family. We hear stories of families that are going through horrible situations. They're going through horrible circumstances. Do we stop and say, God, thank you that you're watching over my family? Sometimes what God provides for us, you know, I need a better paying job. I need this. I need a new car. I need this. But God is providing everything we need, actually more than we need. So just stop and be like the one leper. Just stop, turn around, worship God, thanking Him for the blessings and how He is in your life and with you every single day. I think the second thing that we can kind of glean from this is if we really have a heart of gratitude, it will deepen our faith. If we are really thankful for what God has done for us, if we are grateful for His love, His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness, for His trying to bring us back together, the reconciliation, if we really are, then we should come back and worship Him. This is what it says in verse 19. And He said to him, rise and go your way. This is Jesus talking to the leper. Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. The leper didn't just turn around and say, wait a minute, I'm clean. Whoa, Jesus, thanks. It says it fell down at His feet. He worshiped Him. Do we worship God for the mercy that He gave us through Jesus Christ, His Son? The fact that you will not spend an eternity in hell. Oh, we slip up and we ask for forgiveness, and He is quick to forgive because He is merciful. But are we really worshiping Him? The word well in here, your faith has made you well, it means you have been made whole. You have been healed. You have been made complete. You're not just healed physically, but you have been restored spiritually. Gratitude, this idea moves from just having this faith to this transaction. I mean, it moves to faith from transaction. In other words, a lot of our prayers are, oh God, I need you to do this in my life. And then God does it and we say thanks. In other words, we throw out a request and we ask God to honor that request. And then we say thanks and we move on. But if we are really in a spirit of thankfulness and gratitude and our hearts are filled, when we do that, it changes to a relationship. In other words, when we find ourselves in the valley and we need God to heal us from here, or we need God to pour out something onto us, or we need a blessing, we already know that we're going to get something because He is in charge and we have faith. So we can approach Him and we can ask. But even if He doesn't, we still trust that He knows what He's doing. When we thank God, even in our hard seasons, what happens? Our faith deepens even more. And when we get to the other side and we see the blessings and we look back and we can say, you know what? God was with me the whole time. I can see it now. When I was in the valley, all I could see was the mountains in front of me. I couldn't see how to get out of this mess. I couldn't see anything. But now that I'm looking back, I see God was there the whole time. There was many times in my life where I was facing uncertainty or I had questions. And I learned to thank God through it, not just after it. My senior year, and I've shared this before, my senior year in high school, 18 years old, got the world on the string. Man, I was thin. I was good looking. I had a great car. I didn't know Margie yet, but I had my pick of at least one girl, maybe. But there, you know, I was on top of the world. Should have been my best year ever, right? Your senior year, man. You got prom. You got all this stuff. You're getting ready to go to college. You think you know everything. And those of you that have kids, you know, when they were that age, 18, they knew a lot more than you. And it wasn't until their mid-20s when they came back and realized how smart you really were. But that year, my cousin, who was my same age, killed himself over a girl. And then on my birthday, my 18th birthday, my senior year, my grandmother dies. And I'd been living with her since my grandfather had died, just right around the corner. And so what should have been my best year had turned into this awful year. But I'm going to tell you, during that year, I met someone that really introduced me to Christ in a real way. Went to Wanata Valley, and as Ramsey Hall was preaching, I got to see Christ and what He did for me in a real way, and it changed my whole attitude. And when I came back, man, I was on fire. I was on fire, and there was a girl in the high school. What we did, this is stupid, y'all. On the French's mustard top, if you unscrew it, and then you take when you're done with the mustard, I mean, don't have an empty bottle of mustard, but you take the little cardboard thing out, and you put it on your shirt like this, and you stick it in there. It makes a button, and it says, "Spread a little sunshine." And we walked around Forest Park High School with "Spread a little sunshine." And we would talk to people about Jesus. And this was during when my grandmother and my cousin and everything in my life was just being turned upside down. And yet I saw the hand of God all the way through that. Because I don't know what I would have done. I mean, my cousin Bill and I we were like this. I spent all my summers up there in Ohio with him. We were close. And my grandmother, like I said, I lived with her. I mean, I was her rock after my grandfather died. I didn't realize it at the time. I just thought, like, ooh, good, I get out of my house. Now I can go over here and do everything I want, but I couldn't do everything I wanted. Trusting that God has us even in the midst of the storm, then we turn around in the midst of the storm. He was there. And maybe it took me 60 years to kind of look back and see all that, but He was there. And so God now helps me through those moments. And I still fall into those moments where I'm overwhelmed, I'm overpowered, I feel that I just, what am I doing? I'm on that cul-de-sac of insanity where I just feel like, how do I get out of this? And yet God is there. So I'm learning to thank God through these times and not just after it. And then the third thing I think that we get through here, that this gratitude of our heart, it strengthens our worship. It transforms our witness. It makes us different. It says this in verse 17. Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this one?" Jesus asks, and it's a haunting question, where are the other 9? Where are they? Only one man's gratitude turned into public praise? I mean, I don't know how long they were lepers. Maybe the other 9 were just like 1 or 2 days in, so what a big deal to them. I don't know. But I would think when you see leper and they're walking on the other side of the street, they knew the law and they're like, "We're unclean, we're unclean. Master, have pity on us. Have mercy on us. He does. He cleanses them. They go to present themselves to the priest. I guess the other nine did too. But only one came back to thank him. How sad. A grateful heart for us naturally points others to Jesus. Thankful people are contagious. I would much rather be around somebody that is always thankful because it shifts the whole atmosphere of their homes, of their workplaces, of the churches, of their friends. I mean, do you want to be around somebody that is sour and complaining the whole time? And there have been seasons where I have been that one where it doesn't matter what happened, all these good things coming in, I found the bad in everything. Margie calls it my Eeyore moments. She said, okay, Eeyore, what are you going to do next? And it immediately snaps me out because how do you respond to that? When we live with open gratitude, the world can see that our faith is real. Man, you are struggling with what you're going through right now, but you know what? I can tell by your face, I can tell by your stance, I can tell by everything that's in you that you're not worried about it, that you've got a higher trust, a higher power. And Howard, I'm going to embarrass you again. Howard, if you ever spent any time with Howard, and I just spent a week with him, which is more than a week that I've ever spent with him before, but I spent a week with Howard. Every moment, it doesn't matter. He's got a smile on his face. He's always in a good mood. Even when he is eating all of the chicken wings and not letting you get that one last chicken wing, he looks at you with a big smile and says, you snooze, you lose. But he always seems to be untroubled. And I know there are things in his life that are battling against him. And yet, he has a spirit of thankfulness and a grateful heart. Gratitude really does change everything. It changes our faith. It changes our joy. It changes our relationship. And as we get ready to enter into this time of Thanksgiving and then into our time of Advent, we need to understand that we need to pause. And not get caught up into, I got to have a million people over for Thanksgiving. Oh, Christmas is coming. I don't have my shopping done. And we get caught up in all this craziness. We need to stop and we need to pause and we need to turn around and we need to give our praise and our thanks and our worship to God. Father, I pray you would open our eyes to see your goodness all around us. Father, teach us to live with grateful hearts that notice your grace, open hands that share. And Father, like the one who returned to thank you, may we fall at your feet in worship and rise to live for you. And Father, we pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.